This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
First responders from across the country rushed to New York and worked endless days and sleepless nights. They fought to rescue every person trapped in the rubble and then searched for months to find the remains of the fallen. The love and loyalty of our 9/11 responders knew no bounds.
Good news. I thought we'd open with it for a change. The 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. Boom. It is signed, the first responders bill. As somebody who was there in New York during 9/11 and saw the aftermath of that and the onslaught of cancer and things that happened to those people who were oh so brave, I think, bravo, it's a good thing. And you heard what the president, a New Yorker himself, had to say. So, hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, as we kick off this show, let's go to our favorite Congressman, former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney with Talk Media News. Bob, so there you go. That certainly is a bright light on an otherwise bleak couple of news cycles for the press.
Well, it surely is, Kate, and long overdue. And it's passed, signed by the president. A fantastic bill. It will help to go years down the road. And, you know, who knows what else is coming up. So it establishes that fund and allows them to, you know, definitely have what they need, hopefully, to repair their lives.
But on the downside, while that's a very good moment, the president had an onslaught of nasty tweets about one congressman from Maryland, Elijah Cummings, and he said he's not fixing the disgusting rat and rodent infested mess that is Baltimore. So we know certainly that in a city like Baltimore and some other big cities, it is brutal, and especially while the president is trying to push policies on immigration and et cetera. Was this too much bullying? Cummings is also coming out swinging. Is this the same thing that we've been seeing?
Well, Kate, they're both swinging. Look, the president could have worded it, for example, this way, that, you know, Elijah Cummings, the congressman, is spending more time with other things than helping, you know, in his district. He could have said that. The president used very, you know, obviously explicit terms, rat infested, you know, et cetera. Now, although the president used different languages, the one thing I would take exception, for example, you know, Speaker Pelosi and others have said, well, this is racist. Well, you know, 2 weeks ago they said that Speaker Pelosi was racist, basically, because she was, quote, singling out women, newly elected women of color. And I don't really look at it, the president is racist. I mean, he's made some tough, harsh comments, I understand, about the district. But, you know, that's his expression about the district. And but these days, if you make a statement, sometimes it's just, you know, you're anti this or anti that. No matter the terms he used, I just think it's a battle between he and Elijah Cummings. And I've been noticing now people are going to Baltimore. They're interviewing people in the district. And one thing that Elijah Cummings, who, by the way, I know quite well, got along with quite well, you have to watch when you get involved with other issues, too. You'll have some sensitive points in your district you always got to take care of. So they're into a battle. I just don't view it as the president being racist as much as he's made some, you know, pretty tough statements.
Yep, I agree with you on that, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Here's what's going to be also very interesting as we jump to national intelligence. So the president announced on Sunday he's going to nominate Congressman John Ratcliffe, a Republican from Texas, as the next Director of National Intelligence. Immediately, the Democrats feasted on this. It might not be easy to have this confirmed. Do you think he's going to have a tough time? I think he agrees with the president on a lot and is the right guy from the president's point of view. But do you think that this is a little tough to get him confirmed?
Well, you know, they're going to make an issue that he, you know, is not knowledgeable enough. But, you know, he is a sitting member of Congress. That in itself, people will probably disagree with this, but that in itself will give him some, at least, you know, precedents that he's, you know, served, and he knows some knowledge. So I think he'll get confirmed. It's very controversial. Dan Coats left. He was a former senator from Indiana, and now this may take a different direction than Dan Coats, you know, would have taken. So we'll see. But I still think that probably, you know, sitting members, it's tougher to not confirm them in a lot of, you know, a lot of ways. So I think he'll make the confirmation process. But look, these days, everything's going to be debated.
Boy, isn't that the truth? There is nothing that is smooth sailing. It's very, very rare. And I don't see it because I follow the Twitter trends, and this is what we see every single day. And speaking of nothing and agreements and all that kind of stuff, what's, of course, is interesting is the ratcheting up of what's going to happen in 2020 and all the Democrats, the who's who, and how that's kind of falling out. And now apparently one of the candidates is really doing a lot of research on Joe Biden, and all kinds of things are kind of falling out about Biden, whether he's a misogynist and other things that he said about women staying at home. And, boy, Joe can't buy a break, can he?
No, he can't. You know, Senator Gillibrand's going after him. You know, the story that you're referring to. And she's in some problems because she's now being blamed by progressives as the person who didn't give Al Franken a chance. And now they're looking into some things that maybe he didn't do, et cetera. You know, she's at 1%. So, but you know what? Even if she is at 1%, she's going to start with others. There's about 8 other campaigns that they're remaining anonymous. They're going after Joe Biden. But, yes, she's going to start to pull that trigger. What happened last debate? Kamala Harris went after him for race. What's going to happen this debate? Well, probably, you know, his positions on women. So, yes, he is obviously the front runner or this wouldn't be happening. And I would say the gloves are off and the honeymoon is over for the Democratic primary.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's my big burning question for you. When are you going back to India?
I am going October the 2nd. I am going to go to the land of serenity and tranquility and some great food. Yeah, absolutely. And we've got to get you over there. We can do America Tonight via Mother India. You know,
I love it. We are going to do that. We're going to make that happen. I bet you we could make it happen in 2020 because we're still, you know, we're almost out of this year. But I bet you we could do it next year. And I want to go to those good food places. And here's what I want to do. I want a video that we can pop out all over the place for people listening of you and I in a tuk-tuk.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we can look, it's India. Anything's possible. We can actually drive it. You can drive it. Yes.
Oh, I'm going. Mm-hmm. We're going to make this happen. All right, Bob Nake. We're going to do it. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So this gets political for your wallet anyway. How do you feel when you realize that your credit card company has been breached and you might be one of those 100 million customers? That happened to plenty of people who are carrying around something from Capital One. So they did announce that personal information, including Social Security, bank account numbers of about 100 million people were compromised in a massive data theft that led to the arrest of a Seattle woman. So this 33-year-old woman was a former software engineer, and she's accused right now of stealing that info from Capital One credit card applications. It's now one of the top 10 largest data breaches ever. Shame, shame, shame. Woo, luckily I dodged a bullet on that one. How about you? Coming up next, we're talking about the awful tragedy at the Gilroy Garlic Festival with Dr. John Huber. What's next?
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Heard a pop pop, and I kind of looked over in the direction, and I saw a bunch of like teenagers take off, and a pop 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 pop. And at first thought, it was like, why are these kids lighting on firecrackers? But then I kind of looked over a little more, and I saw the gunman just gun raised, pop 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 pop, walking into the festival.
I just want to start by expressing my sorrow for the families of those who lost their life in that shooting in Gilroy, California. It just keeps happening in our country, and these families are right now in deep pain.
That was Senator Kamala Harris there talking about the festival shooting. Before that, an eyewitness hearing the pop pop, that familiar sound where you're not really sure what it is. I used to live not too far from Gilroy. So sad. The Gilroy Garlic Festival is one of the biggest that you can imagine in California, and now a 6-year-old is dead, a 13-year-old girl is dead, a man in his 20s dead, and 12 people were wounded. A 19-year-old decides to go in with a gun and randomly shoot people, and the 6-year-old boy was in a bounce house, Stephen Romero, who's playing in one of those inflatable houses, when he was shot in the back. You have to ask yourself, why? For God's sake, why? I am so tired of jumping on the air and talking about shell-shocked people after these horrible tragedies because of these mass shootings. We've talked about what's happening on the Hill. We've talked about what families are doing. And I always think it's It's so rough for the victims, and that's where my heart always goes first, no matter what. But it's always worth examining what could the motives be, what's happening out there, what is driving people. Kate Delaney, welcome to the show again as we continue to motor through here at the beginning of the week. Who better to join us than our pal, Dr. John Huber. Hey, Dr. John, how you doing? I don't hear Dr. John. Maybe he is not with us. All right, I don't have Dr. Huber, I don't think. So we'll wait to try to get him back on.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, we got you now. Sorry about that. You were down for a second. So
yeah,
I'm sure. Hello, where is she? So I'm sure you were talking about what I asked. I mean, this is just, gosh, John, it's just so awful. This is a 19-year-old, who was killed by police, by the way. People were panicked. Shots were, you know, fired. What do we know? What do we know at this point?
Well, you know, we've gotten interviews from neighbors and like that. We haven't actually heard anything directly from fathers other than the video that, you know, when they tried to interview him and told him what happened, and he looked devastated. I think that was kind of inappropriate personally, but, you know, that's not my call, obviously. But the neighbors all talked about there being a lot of violence in the family. One of them reported one day that they turned in front of them and they tailgated them for several blocks before they turned away, and they felt like they were going to be assaulted if they stopped. So, and that's one of the things that you see with these individuals. You know, we talk about, you know, when you profile somebody, 62% of the people who've done these mass shootings since 2000 have a history of abuse, of bullying, of spousal abuse, of oppressive behaviors, and that's one of those red flags. The other thing we know is that 79% of them are single, and about 22% of them have separated and been divorced, but the other 57% absolutely had never been in any kind of real relationship. We also know that, you know, statistically, 63% of these people are white. Well, that looks like our national population, where 60% is white.
Right.
But then 35% of people have a history of actually criminal convictions, and he doesn't have one as far as we can tell at this point. But he has that violent component. And I would, based on what I know about sociopaths and psychopaths who do these types of behaviors, they tend to have an absentee parent. Typically it's the mother, but sometimes it's the father. That put together with, you know, a few reports of him making statements about, you know, being a white supremacist and like that is a definite red flag. But until you get all the pieces together, you don't know to do anything about it. We just sit back and go, well, you know, there's no law in this country that says you can't be ignorant or, you know, racist for that matter. You can't act on the racism, but you can be racist. So.
Wow, yeah, we're speaking to clinical forensic psychologist Dr. John Huber, certainly a friend of the show, and we love bringing you on for all kinds of different reasons. But, I mean, this is a horrible,
this
sad
isn't a
thing.
Good one, but yeah.
Yeah, this isn't a good one. You know, we're trying to talk about helping people and what can we do. And so you describe some of the characteristics that these mass shooters share and that are in common, that they have in common, and, you know, the underlying cause is actually what could be behind them. So for you in the business, in the mind business, it has to be frustrating, because this is what people say. Well, let's throw more money into mental health, and if we would do that, and if you see somebody who looks like they're struggling, tell someone, he's 19 years old. Who's going to, what, people are going to say, listen, I think something's wrong with him. He could end up shooting at this Gilroy Festival. None of us can predict that.
Right. Well, what we know is of the mass shooters since 2000, 63% of them have a diagnosed mental illness. The other 37% probably did have diagnosable mental illness, but nobody acted upon that, you know, whether it's the school shootings we've looked at or this type of thing. And one of the things is, you know, nobody wants to sit back and say, oh, yeah, my kid has a mental health problem, so I'm going to go take, you know, and get that taken care of because of the stigma. And the, you know, and when you look in society today, in our culture, men, the only, about the only emotion we're allowed really to have is anger. And what's funny is depression in men and young boys comes out as anger because we know it's a safe emotion to have. We're allowed to have that. They don't, somebody doesn't go, oh, you're emotionally disturbed. They go, oh, he's mad at somebody. And they kind of like it's a, it's some sort of cloak of honor or something.
So then the answer is that the more that it becomes normal for men to feel certain things and for us to embrace that as a culture and to, for us to embrace mental health, I think, as a disease.
Absolutely.
The better maybe things become.
And that's, it's a starting point. You know, if we look at it, for example, like childhood cancer in the early 80s, it had a 15% survival rate. We didn't know all the precursors to it. And we did research and we started watching and looking into the history of kids that were diagnosed, like all the way back to conception, if we could do that. And we started finding things that give us a lot of clues to what's going on. And now we have an 85% survival rate. And, but it's only been 40 years to do that. So we're talking a whole generation to fix this, and that's what we're looking at with mental health. Until we sit down and say, we're not, you know, doomed or cursed by God, this is a disease model, we have to go and look at all the behaviors we saw that we thought were kind of cute, but a little worrisome when we were, you know, when they were 5 months old, 6 years old, 7 years old, but we just kind of blew it off as, oh, he's just a unique child. We need to start looking at those because those are going to tell us and give us some of the clues to stop this from happening in the future. And until we're allowed to talk about it openly and not fear the reprisal from society about this, it's going to continue on like this. And it's horrible to think that, but I think that's where we're at.
Yeah, I agree with you. You can look up more about Dr. John Huber if you go to his website, mainstreammentalhealth.org. As always, thanks for trying to shed some light. We appreciate it.
Well, I wish it was a better topic, but you can also find me at drpsycho.org. So.
Dr. Psycho, I like that. All right, Dr. John, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, Kate. Have an amazing evening.
Yep, you too. So I agree with him. You know, we noticed we both said mental disease. It is a disease, and lots of people, way more than you can imagine, are dealing with something, and addressing it in a different way may start to stop some of what we see happening. When there's no outlet for somebody, where do they go? And that's not excusing anything that happened. I mean, look, this 19-year-old legally purchased the gun that he had, and he went out and had a mission, and that's what happened. And sadly, you think that this young boy, 6 years old, goes with his mother and his grandmother to a local festival to have fun in a bounce house and just happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And that was the end of his life. How horrible for that community. How horrible for those families. All right, coming up on the flip side, yes, it's all about odds and ends and so on and so forth, sort of, because we're going to hit the mailbag. So it's a different version of odds and ends. Stay with us.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
You USA Radio News with John Hunt.
America's much maligned healthcare system is now covering 9 out of 10 people, a fact that has not stopped the 2020 presidential candidates from refighting battles on how to provide coverage, from Bernie Sanders' call for replacing private insurance with a government plan to Donald Trump's pledge to erase the Affordable Care Act and start from scratch. The politicians are depicting a system in a meltdown. The numbers point to a different story, not quite as dire as previously noted. Government surveys now show that 90% of the population has coverage, preserving gains from President Barack Obama's years. Independent reports estimate that more than one half of roughly 30 million uninsured people in the country are eligible for health insurance through their existing programs. The biggest issue now seems to be that many people with insurance are struggling to pay their deductibles and copays. Thanks for listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaruth, the Capitalist Evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man who built Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fortum has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fortum also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fortum is traded on two global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FortumResources.com. That's Fortum, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's get in the mail bag. Let's get in the mail bag.
You have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mail bag.
Oh, let's dig in the mail bag. Thank you very much. And thanks to all of you for letting me know your thoughts. Anybody listening can go to katedelaneyradio.com, katedelaneyradio.com. Click on contact and bing, just like that. There you are. So let's dive on to it. This one from Bing. I like that nickname, Bing. Bing says, Kate, I don't know, it's crazy with this storms that are brewing in a hurricane season, because we still are in the middle of hurricane season. I heard you say once on the air that it looks like we are getting through it okay, but remember there's still a few months left, and I noticed there's another tropical storm that is gaining some strength and might hit Hawaii by this upcoming weekend. Do you know more about what the National Hurricane Center is saying? Will it hit the mainland? What are the chances of that? I love it. We are storm ready here always on this show, because I have been through so many of them. One of the beauties of living in every part of the United States, south, southeast, the west, the northwest, the midwest, the east coast, the south, you know, you get it. I've lived in not every state, but every quadrant, I'll call it, of the United States. So I kind of am like a storm freak, paying attention to what's happening. I don't watch the Weather Channel quite enough. But, yes, Tropical Storm Eric is starting to gain some momentum in the Pacific Ocean. It is supposed to smash into the Big Island and into Hawaii by the weekend. The latest they're saying is it could grow into a major hurricane, but then it could lose some strength like a day later and be downgraded to a tropical storm before it slams into Hawaii. So in the middle of nowhere in the Pacific, it might be nasty. But then as it gets closer to Hawaii, it weakens a little bit. That's what they're saying out of Honolulu. But the moisture levels, cloud showers, you know, that the Big Island should be pretty nasty as far as rains whipping it. And as far as the mainland, there's no call for that now at this point because it's just too far off of, you know, out there and too far off the mainland at this point. But it doesn't mean that it couldn't track differently. You have to just keep watching it. It's not expected to, however, so I wouldn't send panic into the people's minds in California. It's not really looking like that's going to be what happens there. All right, then I got this one from Kane. Kate, I listened to the show. I've never emailed before, but finally I kept hearing you say, where to email, and I kept missing it. I caught it, so here you go. That's probably a long explanation. This stuff about Baltimore, I used to live in Baltimore, and I got to tell you, it was pretty scary living there. It is a war zone, and it's gotten worse from everything I understand. I moved my family away from there, sadly, because I didn't want them to be in some of these dangerous areas are too nearby, and maybe that's naive on my part, because almost anywhere you live, of course, there can be carnage or horrible things that happen, but it just seems like the trend has gotten, again, even worse in the great city of Baltimore. Well, of course, the population is shrinking because they're doing exactly what you're doing. They're getting out of there. The homicides are up, and it just seems to get worse. You're absolutely right. There's a lot of racial tension there. There's a lot of problems in Baltimore, and it's too bad. I've been to Baltimore many, many times growing up outside of Philadelphia, and we used to just drive through Baltimore because it wasn't good. So that's what it was. We weren't stopping. Then it got a little better, and you started to see some of the sights of Baltimore. And then there, of course, was what happened with Freddie Gray, and then it just highlighted the problems that they have in that city. It's heartbreaking. So the president was tweeting out about what the place is like, that, you know, for seven decades, he called it a rat rodent infested mess, and no human being wants to live there, which is, again, why people are moving and why they don't want to live there. But, you know, you really had Congressman Elijah Cummings get his back up on the whole thing and said that, you know, doesn't want to be blamed because he represents the city and parts of those suburbs, of course, but he's getting criticized for not doing anything, that he's in this position to help, but what is he doing? And, of course, Trump just grabbed a hold of that, too. And, you know, why isn't more happening there? Why, you know, the mayor's saying it, too. Why isn't Baltimore getting help? Why aren't they getting federal resources? Or why isn't there help with infrastructure? And why does everybody just bash Baltimore? And why is that? Why is that happening? I don't know. Is it not fighting back? Is it not fighting for more money? You know, what is it? But then you have people like Michael Steele, a former Republican Maryland lieutenant governor, and he said in Baltimore over the weekend, he said, let's just put the tweet down and let's just show up for these people. Let's just do something, you know, here. And then you had Governor Larry Hogan, the first Republican governor who got a second term in Maryland, because it's very unusual there. It would be much more Democratic territory. And he said, and he's a Republican, he said the president's tweets were outrageous and inappropriate. He was on a big radio station in Baltimore and said that, and said enough is enough. People are completely fed up with the kind of nonsense that's going on. The city needs help. That's what I know. It needs help. Trump and tweets and Cummings answering back, all that, blah, blah, blah. If I lived in Baltimore, I mean, they need a rope. They need something. And is it too late? Do we let areas collapse and say, forget about it? We just need to get out of there. If there's no affordable housing, is there any way to help? I mean, what happens? There were 318 murders in Baltimore in 2016. 318. In 2017, 342. And it just keeps going up, up, up. I mean, it's just up, 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 up. There is so much work to be done there. Disparaging comments, of course, don't help. All right, let's go on to this one. This one is from Sharon, who says, wow, I don't want to really even send you this email except for to say, what in the hell can we do in this country to prevent these mass shootings? Kate, what can we do? Is there anything that we're not doing that needs to be done? Well, I think in my discussion with Dr. John Huber earlier on the show is pretty right on. I've said this all along. There has to be ways to address mental illness as mental disease, getting people help early, not ostracizing people, separating them, putting them in categories. Very easy for me to sit behind this microphone and say it, and it will take a long time to turn that around. And young men being able to be vulnerable and not being beat up and bullied and called on the carpet, or, you know, young kids, young boys, and it could be girls too, but it's always the definition of what happens with these mass shootings is the white young guy, the loner, the lone wolf, etc. So, I mean, how do you say, well, this guy looks like something could happen? He looks clearly like he's not right. And then you talk to other people and they tell you, well, no, there's no way they would look at him and think that would have happened. Did he have run-ins with the police before? Would they have seen anything that would make them think he's going to do something like that? And the people around the shooter say that, and remember, he was killed in the aftermath of what happened, that he was a quiet teenager from an athletic family. He stayed out of trouble. That's what all the neighbors are saying. Clearly, they didn't know what was going on in his head. And this is how it ends. It ends his life and too many other lives as well of young people, and then leaves others wounded and injured in various states. It's heartbreaking. The answer, I think, is to address illnesses and label them as a disease and try to turn the narrative around when so many people are struggling with so much and they can't admit it. They have to hide it, and it gets buried too deep, and then the wound explodes, and sadly, this is what happens. It's surprising more people weren't hurt, because a lot of people go to that Gilroy Garlic Festival. I mean, it is a crowded house there, but boy, just very, very, very sad. What can you say? And then trying to figure out what could possibly have this happen, what could make him do this, is the thing that's so strange. Middle class family, and just he purchased the gun legally. And in the community that, you know, his family was known as nice people, and they're just stunned. That's the answer. They're just stunned. So we got to figure out a way to address this much, much better. And that's easy, like I said, to sit behind a microphone and say that. But what are the specifics of the answer? And the answer is it's a cultural shift. And that doesn't happen overnight. More people would have to embrace that. More schools would have to embrace that. More workplaces would have to as well for that to change. That's the only thing, in my opinion, that will really, really help. Coming up, we're headed to the man cave. So hang with us. I'll open the door and I'll meet you there.
Thank you. shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Time to
invade the man cave.
Ah, yes, indeed. It is almost time for our favorite pastime, or at least some of us, and that would be, how do we escape from all the noise? Well, that would be to watch the NFL and our favorite football teams, or to play fantasy football, or to play Nail the Score on this show with me, Kate Delaney. And we may have a winner this time around. I like to say that. I hope we have a winner. I don't think we may. I hope, I want to see that we have a winner. So we're going to talk a little NFL, because we would definitely be doing that if you and I were sitting around, hanging around, talking a little sports. And I find that people either like one sport or like a whole bunch of sports, or they favor, you know, a few things here and there. Most people I know have at least a little bit of an interest in the NFL. And if you don't, well, close your ears for a few minutes and we'll talk about something else. All right, I got to give a shout out before we dive into that, though, to what happened in Iowa. Northland baseball coach Travis Griffith has a box of baseballs, they say, on the office desk of his home. You say, so what, right? But the balls are cataloged in this box with sticky notes that have the date, the opponent, blah, 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 blah. He's been doing it for a long time. So now what's happened is you've seen a kid on his team that is shattering records. The nation's all-time leader in hits as a high schooler. The nation's all-time leader in runs as a high schooler. The records keep on being broke. So he's a star shortstop and pitcher in Iowa. And he's pretty amazing to watch. And this kid, Griffith, they call him Griff, the Griff. Although I don't know why they do that, because it's a sort of a nickname, I guess, from the coach, since that's his name. The kid is Jake Hilmer, and he's got lots and lots of records that are starting to fall. So I'm going to think he's going to be heavily recruited. It may be, there's this big story about him and in a baseball thing I read, it may be a long time before someone else comes along like this kid, Hilmer, who they say ripped 70 hits as an eighth grader, 64 as a freshman, 73 as a sophomore, 69 as a junior. You know what he has now? 83 through the season, through the Monday qualifying or quarterfinal win, not qualifying, quarterfinal win over a team from West Branch. Yeah, he's got a bright future, I'm thinking, in the sport of baseball. I like baseball. And I think people don't talk about baseball enough because, like I said, the favorite sport of so many of us, and I love it too, but I love baseball as well, is the NFL, because of training camps and questions surrounding teams about players or coaches or what's the year going to look like. One of the questions that happens to come up a lot is for Jerry Jones, who's the ruler, the owner, the czar of everything that is the Dallas Cowboys, is about his coach, Jason Garrett, and how secure is his job. And here's what Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, had to say.
Jason has never lost the team. The team has always been there for him and playing hard. Now, the outcome hasn't been as good as we'd like to have. We should have won a Super Bowl, okay? Because I don't put that on any man, coach or not. If we get right there, we're ready to go, we're within Dez Bryant's catch of winning it, then when we're in here that close and competing like that, I say job well done.
All right, so he's not going to, by all accounts, shove out Jason Garrett. In the meantime, though, Zeke Elliott, who is the star running back for the Dallas Cowboys, has been out of camp for 4 days. The Cowboys, as a result, are signing veteran Alfred Morris. They announced that late on Monday. Elliott was flying to Cabo as the Cowboys were having their first padded practice of camp. So they're speaking with the agent about a contract extension. They have swapped proposals but have not cut a deal. So Morris steps in, at least for training camp, to help out. And the longer he holds out, the more these questions will keep coming up as to what he'll get. And he's on the reserve did not report list. So they don't have to make a roster move to add Morris, by the way. He is subject to a $40,000 fine for every day he misses. Wow. Can you imagine that? Would that be crippling to the mere mortal? $40,000 a day. Once he misses 6 days of camp, the Cowboys can come after 15% of the prorated portion of the signing bonus he got in 2016. That would be about $613,000. For each day after that, they can add another 1% up to a max of 25%. You get my drift here. The numbers go against him if he doesn't report. He is under contract through 2020 with the Cowboys picking up his $9.9 million fifth-year option. So what is going to happen here is intriguing, and the agent is obviously maneuvering, and that's what that's about. On the other end of things, Sam Darnold is still having his love affair with the Jets, and he should at this point in his young career. So here's what Sam Darnold had to say about what he's noticed about the Jets after a couple of practices under his belt.
You know, I feel like we're getting it. You know, we're getting the offense, and we're moving at a really good pace right now. We're moving through the installs, and guys are absorbing it, and they're performing out on the field. It's nice to do that. It's nice to come out here, and you know, I feel like the guys aren't thinking that much. They're just hearing the call and they're going. And I think that's a good thing as a quarterback to see the players or to see my teammates kind of go out there and make plays and play fast. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's relying on some of the great communication he has with Josh McCown, who says he misses football, and he asks questions about the team. And McCown actually even visited camp and was on the sidelines with Adam Gase, who's the coach of the Jets. And, you know, it's interesting. I think it's good to be able to lean on people who have some of that inside information, so to speak. And for Sam Darnold, at his young age, he needs people around him to offer some sound advice, especially you think of New York and the Jets last year in the AFC East finished a dismal 4-12. 4-12. So they have some injuries to deal with. They have some key positions to shore up. And Le'Veon Bell missed some time already with leg cramps, so that's not great. But it's a different year. You turn the page, different scenario, different coaches, etc. And Jets fans, in the beginning at least, they are definitely going to be with the team. But how long do they stay if the frustrations over the Jets continue? I'm just saying. Other Cowboy stories, because I'm going to bounce back to that for a second, include something that's interesting, because with these camps, sometimes new twists develop in these coaches and how they get the players ready. So at the Cowboys camp, they've got yoga going on. They decided yoga, so the stretch movements and stuff, would help the players. And that's what's unique about what's happening with them, right? Why not? If it works for others and other sports, it may work for them. You got to throw in, I think, a little bit of the curveball now and then, and they're out in California in Oxnard because that's where they hold their camp. And we'll see what it looks like for them once you get to the regular season. But we're ways off for that to happen. Boy, I bet Raiders fans are just chomping at the bit for Vegas now because they're like the lost team, just kind of floating around. Kind of like Tom Hanks when his only friend was at volleyball. Remember that? Wilson! Hey, thanks for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.